Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. This is Sister Leola, and I'm calling from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and I am the host for this Sunday evening. So I just want to thank you for joining Happy and Light Ministries, and I want to say welcome. Welcome, my brothers and sisters from far and near, those that are calling from out of the country, and my sisters and brothers around the United States. I just want to thank you for joining us tonight. And I just want to offer a word of prayer right now. And I will be sharing, of course, it's the last day event, but I'm just sharing something out of the scripture because I wish I got to get me a last day event book because these things are happening in this world today. So let us offer a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before the throne of grace just to say thank you for this hour and this day that you allow us to see. Lord, once again, you have blessed us to come to the prayer line and to be able to share and just to speak of things that you have told us what will come to pass. Forgive us, Father, of our sins. And Father, right now we asking for your Holy Spirit. Pour it out upon us tonight, Father. Bless us, Father, families, Lord, our children. Lord, Father, we asking, Father, for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. Feed us with thine holy word that it may teach us, help us to understand the righteousness and the power of our Father. And his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we thank you tonight for this prayer line. I'm lifting this prayer line up to you tonight, Father, because it's nothing that Sister Leola or anyone else could do but read the scriptures and talk of your goodness because you have created all things, even this word you have given to us that we must speak the truth. You say it as it is in Jesus Christ. So thank you so much, Father, for blessing us tonight once again that we can come to the prayer line. And I pray for each and every one of my brothers and sisters, whether they're on here or not. Father, I lift to you, asking that you be with them wherever they are. And I'm asking you to keep them and protect them as they travel in their homes everywhere, Father. And we ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And also, we definitely won't forget praying that the Holy Spirit just give us the understanding. And when we testify of your goodness, Father, that we are praising you and thanking you for what you're doing for us every day. So we thank you tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers. And we're going to read from 2 Timothy, we're going to read what thus says the Lord. Just give me just a second. From 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers and having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Oh, brothers and sisters, I pray God be with each and every one of us that we are on this prayer line speaking the word. Because, you know, as we would think, the word says that we, God's children, we want to be able to speak the word teach the word, share the word. But we don't want to be able to do all of that, but yet be lost. So we want to be able to be faithful to God. We want God to bless us. So as we are here sharing the gospel, let us share it with someone else that they may understand and know the word for themselves. Amen. And also, I would like to just share a song while my brothers and sisters wait to come on the prayer line. I would like to share a song, brothers and sisters. I'm not a singer, but I love to sing. By God's grace. Now, listen to the words and not Leola's voice, because, you know, I just ask the Lord to help me with the voice. I'm just singing a song until more people join. But if anyone want to share at this moment, you can press 1. And I want to sing this song. I'm hoping that everybody would, you can sing this song along. Just give me a second. And I'm going to put, yield not to temptation. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some others to win. Find manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Shun evil companion, bad language is strange. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thankful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. To him that overcometh, God give it a crown. So faith we shall conquer, though often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Sometimes I can't see. Look ever to Jesus, and he will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Oh, thank you, sisters and brothers. I just sung that song, Stop My Brothers and Sisters Tonight, because I know that our Savior will carry us through. We can't do it. We can't do it at all, but we got to trust him, and he will carry us through. So, brothers and sisters, we have someone that pressed 1. We're going to open the line for 857, and you can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Amen. Hello, Sister Miola, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line. My name's from Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. First of all, Sister Miola, I'd like to thank God for his love, for his mercy. I'd like to thank God for everything you have done for me, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I have a prayer request, my beloved. My prayer request tonight is to lift up my mother in prayer. My mother needs a lot of prayer. Sister Miola, don't forget to lift up our dear sister, too. Her name is Sister Joanne, so please lift up Sister Joanne in prayer. Her name is J-O-A-N-N-A. Lift up Sister Joanne in prayer. And Sister Miola, please lift up Brother Javel in prayer, because either way, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, the other day, Sister Miola, Brother Javel stick up his middle finger, Sister Miola. I know he have a holy Bible, Sister Miola, but Sister Miola, I'm asking to tell brothers and sisters on the prayer line to please encourage me at the moment, because Brother Javel's sticking up his mingle finger at me, Sister Miola, and the enemy's making him to do this to me, Sister Miola. You know, Sister Miola, the enemy's making Brother Javel not to get along with me. He's making Javel not to be loving. He's making Javel not to how you say that, Sister Miola? He's making Brother Javel not to speak to me. So Sister Miola, please lift up Brother Javel in prayer, because he needs a lot. He needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola. Tell the others on the prayer line to lift him up in prayer, Sister Miola, because Sister Miola, the enemy's like a roaring lion. And he is attacking him at the moment. So please lift up Brother Javel in prayer. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Miola. May God bless you all on the prayer line, my brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Tell everyone, encourage me, Sister Miola.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Eli, for that. But, you know, Brother Eli, truly, Sister Leola, want to encourage you. We have been telling you as mothers, sisters and brothers, we tell you all the time, pray for Javel. You know, we lift him up in prayer. We lift you up in prayer. You're going to have to understand God don't want you always worrying about what Javel doing and what he's not doing. You have to just lift him up in prayer. And don't say nothing to him, because anything could agitate him or aggravate him. And you know, it's just the best thing to do is just leave him alone. And that's what God will say to you. Leave Javel alone. Don't call his name so much on the prayer line. You know, go to your prayer closet and say, Father, help Javel. And leave it there, Brother Eli. And you will see what God will do for you. So leave it there. Don't bring his name up anymore. We all know you bring it to the prayer line often. We all know that Brother Javel needs prayer. And God wants us to teach you and tell you that, you know, you can bring something to God one time. He hear you. God say, I hear you. You don't have to come repeat it like that. So I'm not trying to tell you that you're doing something wrong, but we just need to help you and teach you. So we love you, and that's why we have to teach you what thus says the Lord, okay? And God bless you. So take it to your closet prayer and pray for Javel, and move forward, move on, okay? So thank you, Brother Eli, once again. God bless you, and we love you, and we're going to be continuing to pray for you. Amen? So you continue to be on the prayer line as we lift up you, Brother Javel, and all others you request. Amen. So now we're going to open the line for 985-232. Your line is open. Amen. You can give your name and where you're calling from.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. It's Sister Brenda calling from Hummel, Louisiana. Just want to thank God for being so good, worthy. I like to read a devotion prayer. Lord, sometimes I lose sight of your love and struggle to feel your kindness. Thank you for loving me and everlasting love and for remaining with me through seasons of trouble and difficulties. Help me, Lord, to take comfort in the truth of your unchanging love, no matter what my day brings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I just want to thank God again because he's worthy to be praised. And he's a good God, loving God. And he's just God that we always want to be close to. And I just want to thank him again. And I just want to ask a prayer for Ed Dentlight, our family members on and off the prayer line, our family members all around the world. Pray for the sick, the homeless, the nursing home, the hospital, those sleeping outside, those in the jail house, wherever they may be confined. Pray for the children, the youth, the all the sick. And then we just want to keep praying for Sister Power, her mission that she's trying to accomplish. Pray for her and our health. Want to pray for all of our members on working and doing a job on this prayer line. We want to keep prayers for each and everyone that come on here. And thank God that they're well and healthy. Bless them. Just want to thank God, period. And just want to thank everybody on this prayer line. And may God bless them. Amen. That's it.
Amen. Okay. So we thank you, Sister Brenda. And we will lift up the homeless. You see, these prayers request is special because the homeless, the prayer line, sisters and brothers, you know, that is a request you can give often because definitely God is always, we always want to lift up the homeless. And even though, as I was just telling Brother Eli, God hear our prayers. But if there's a problem, I need someone to tell me because I don't know nothing. But to lift up the homeless, to lift up the sick, and to lift up the prayer line, all these. Yes, we need to lift up friends and family and ask for prayers for, because what people do, sisters and brothers, Brother Eli said that Brother JaVale stuck his finger out. We know that it's wrong, and that we got to just pray. I told Brother Eli, if I'm wrong, please tell me. We got to tell, we don't talk to Brother Eli, and we want him to know, brothers and sisters, to go to his prayer closet and pray for JaVale. And we are praying for him, too. That God reach him, you know, God touch his heart and save him. But for the most part, we lift up prayers. Like when we pray for, ask for prayers for Brother Eli, Sister Katie, myself, we are praying for one another, and that's what God say do. So I want to thank you, Sister Brenda, and we are lifting you up in prayer because I know God has truly blessed you, and you're going to be getting your home soon. And we're going to pray all is well, that God, everything go well with your, bringing your home to you and being able to set up everything. And God bless you all in your moves, because we know you need help. And by God's grace, we pray that you get help for some people to help you to move. Amen. So God bless Brother John, because I know Brother John can't have too much stress on his body. So we're going to lift that up in prayer. Amen. So thank you, Sister Brenda, and you all be blessed. And as you listen, continue to listen on the prayer line. So thank you. So now, brothers and sisters, we're going to go to the next caller. And if anyone, what I just mentioned, if someone can tell me if that's not right, please help me, because, you know, I don't know. Amen. So 951, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're calling from. Amen.
Good night, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell calling from Kingston, Jamaica. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. And I thank God that I was able to join. I listened to a little part you have mentioned with Brother Eli. So shall it be, you know, because we have been telling Brother Eli day by day, you know, to leave everything to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord said, if we, in his word, if we go witnessing out there to our people, and if they reject us, all we have to do, dust the dust off our shoes and move on, right? So when we move on, we are not expecting, you know, to be presumptuous by just going around, because if we do that, we know that, you know, that individual will be getting tired or upset, and we are not following what the Lord have done. So I think the little, you know, I think what you did, you know, it's really a good counsel for dear beloved Brother Eli. Leave him alone and go to God in prayer, because we do not know if Brother Javel is on the line sometime. And if he hear what he's doing and praying for him that he will accept Christ, that he will not, that, you know, sometimes people get a little downhearted and, you know, they will react. So we just have to pray for Brother Eli, our dear beloved, you know, that he will just leave everything to God in prayer. And you know what? By leaving it in prayer, God will work upon the heart of Javel, you know, if whether he want to receive or object it. So we know that is two class of people living on the earth. So we just will pray and leave it to God, for God, and just ask. We are just asking our dear beloved Brother Eli, you know, God hears our prayer, and he's willing to hear a humble and contrite prayer. He will hear that, but if the prayer is not with a humble heart and contrite, he will not. So he told us, you know, what we should do. So I think that was a good you know, sister, what we said, reject, right? We are not asking Brother Eli to reject him completely, but just leave it to God in prayer, right? So that was a good counseling, Sister Leah. Thank you. This is Sister Powell. I will just say, my dear beloved, that God is good. He's so great. Yesterday is the Sabbath. And we went to the funeral, the ceremony of the last, you know, with our loved one, Brother Dougie. And my dear beloved, despite it was Sabbath, but I think I was in church. It is the first I was experiencing what I would call it, a serviceman who have served their country, right, 35 years. And it's the first I have saw a procession with the police force, because he was a superintendent, and they were in order, my dear. Everything was in order. Everything was like you are in the church, and the pastor who present the message, let not our heart be troubled. That was the message to those who are alive, and I am telling you, it was so great. And the procession, everything went on good. So we went you know, to maneuver safely to Chicago. The bus went, a van and a car, and we came back safely. So I just want to tell everyone that thank you for prayer for us that we could go and come back safely. And also, my dear beloved, this morning I woke up and, you know what, just have my prayer and was praising the Lord. And I said, let I go and watch a program that we always watch on the YouTube. And I watched the baptism of Save and Serve, the Pastor Enrique. And my dear beloved, this was not a crusade. And I sat there, I think it's from around 9 o'clock to maybe around 12 or so. And I experienced a baptism that I never experienced, even in my church. And I, even when crusade, this is mostly with crusade, and with baptism was around 65 souls have given their life to the Lord in that baptism. There were young people, there were youth, there were male, there were female, there were older people, there were wife and husband, there was a family of four, mother and father and two grown sons went into the baptism, into the watery grave. So I'm asking you all, those individuals over 65, individuals went down to the watery grave yesterday, give their life fully surrender to the Lord, to follow them, follow him all the ways. So I'm asking, please, we do not know them, but we do know they are our brothers and our sisters. And we do know that the Lord rejoiced with angels all around to see what he has done. He's calling out his people, my dear beloved, and his people are being obedient, following his call, and they're accepting Christ as their personal Savior. So this is my praise report, my dear. I had a wonderful day, Sabbath yesterday, and this morning it was just a blessing, just sitting there, relaxing, focusing upon the scripture reading and the songs, that the favorite song, and the way the baptism was so organized and everything went on good. So let us continue to pray for all those souls, my dear beloved, and pray for Sister Powell. You know, we didn't work today. I had a rest day. I rest part of the day and just relax, focus. We didn't have a work day today. So we had a good day, and I just want to thank God. And thank you all for prayer. Your projects is going on good. The Rosie project is going on good, my dear beloved. And we hope to resume sometime next week when we get some material. And also the Guy's Hill project there, my dear beloved. You know, we're coming on. We are expecting to go back to finish what we leave. And we just pray that God will pour out his blessings on everyone. Thank you, Sister Leola, for listening. And thank you for opening my line. God bless to everyone. Bye.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. And indeed, a baptism had organized like that. I have not gotten a chance to watch that, but I wanted to watch that myself when y'all first mentioned, but I forgot about it. And that is powerful, to watch a baptism, my sister, and to see that person go down into that that water. And when they come up, it's the refreshing to know that and pray. And at the same time, we are praying that God will renew that person, that they will walk. You know, it may be some struggles, but we praying. We got to keep praying, always prayer for everyone. So that is a blessing, Sister Power, that testimony. That is truly a blessing. And I'm so happy to hear Rosie Projects always going well. By God's grace, I continue to pray for God to pour out his blessing on those projects, because truly it will not come together just with nothing. It needs funds for it. So we just praise God. And anyone desire to want to do funds or share anything for Rosie or Sister Powell's project, because she's a it's a continuation in Jamaica. She does not, from Rosie Project, she's still working with the Children Project. That's the because she's cooking and she's feeding the children and give the children a back to school year. She continued to work with that, and she has to prepare for that all year long. So when that time comes, she have what she needs. So we just thank God for that, and we're gonna lift that up in prayer also, Sister Powell, because God is in that, because He truly is the answer for your the work that you're doing there in Jamaica. So thank you once again, Sister Powell. And now we're gonna open the line. If there's anyone else, no one else has pressed one as of yet. But what I wanted to share, sisters and brothers, when I open up, I read the last day event, and I was reading from Second Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. And let me read this. This was the reading for this evening, and it was 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. It says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they seek to themselves teachers and having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables," which is a lie. So brothers and sisters, you know, we have to be careful where we go and hear and what we're going to hear and what we're listening to. And then the other thing, I just offered a song, Yield Not to Temptation. And you know that song just pretty much tell us don't yield to temptation, but I done turned my page. I wanted to, but that's okay. I'll get that later. So, but as we yield not to temptation, because Second Timothy is talking about, we don't want to turn our ears from hearing God's word. We want to hear, because that's what's going to change our heart and help us in these troublesome times. And my song is gone, and I don't know all the words. They don't come to my mind like that. So, but I'm gonna just let that go. But I just want to thank you once again, brothers and sisters, for coming on and sharing. And I want to welcome you to Advent Light Ministry. And I'm asking that everybody that is on, if you press one, and you can share your testimony or your scripture or your other reading, you can do that right now. And I just want to thank you all for coming here on the prayer line tonight. And while we are waiting, I just wanted to offer a prayer. I want to offer a prayer for Brother Eli and a special prayer for Sister Powell's ministry. Amen. Let us offer a prayer while our brothers and sisters just pause and wait, and they can press one in a little bit. Heavenly Father, we come before you once again, Father, to lift up Brother Eli first of all, Father, and you hear him asking for prayer requests for his mother, for Jahari and all the others. Father, we know that you hear us. And you said if we would just come to you and seek you and show ourselves faithful to you, Father, you say you will answer our prayers. So, Father, as Brother Eli comes and asking and requesting for Brother Jahari to know he can come to you in prayer, and that he can ask you, Father, to help Brother JaVale, because the Bible speaks about that the woman had gone to the judge, and she was persistent asking the judge for what she needs. And the judge said that she was so persistent that he granted it to her. So, Father, just ask Brother Eli. He's persistent about JaVale, praying for JaVale because he's saying this or doing that. So now, Lord, as we pray for Brother Eli, help Brother Eli to come to you in prayer for Brother Jahari and Jamal, for all of them that have some problems, that do things and say things. Let him come to you, Father. Help him speak to his heart and his mind, Lord, that he can come to you personally. And, Father, we thank you for your answering prayers. And now, Father, we also lift up Sister Power to you, Father. And as she has brought the testimony about faith to serve, Father, the brother, we see his ministry, the work they are doing. We are praying for all those he baptized. Father, you said that you have everyone in your hand that your Father given to you, and you say you have not lost none. So, Father, each one of those baptisms that he baptized, Father, you know each one of them heart. And we ask him that you continue to work in them, Father. They don't got baptized. I'm asking that you continue to teach them, help them, and strengthen them, Father, that they may see you and focus on you, Father. Lord, not just them. We on Advent Light Ministry, we need you. We need that power also, Father. So please be with us also here on this prayer line. And, Father, I also lift up Rosie to you, Rosie Project. Father, you see the work that needs to be done. You see the workers that doing the work. Now, Father, we know and you know that everything costs. And even the men and the women that's out there working. I saw this woman. She was working so hard. Father, this woman put her hands in it. She good out there and worked just like them fellas. So, Father, I want to thank you because Sister Power need every hand. She needs every hand she can get to get this project finished. And, Father, we praying for a financial blessing. Father, we saw what earlier writing says, that Satan want to make men, want to distract men and do all sorts of things so they wouldn't be able to give. He said he want to distract them. He want to destroy them. He want to do all that to us so God's word won't be fulfilled. Oh, Father, have mercy upon your family, on your people, Father. Bless us, Lord, tonight and help us to remind, if none but $5 to $10, Father, it will help. So, Father, I thank you right now. I'm asking you to bless Sister Powell because she used her means, Father, and all of her means. We know she got to be careful. She got to be taken care of too, Father. So, Lord, I'm asking you to provide and keep, and especially the mission work she's doing because she's feeding so many, Father, that these people are hungry. Most of the time, these people can't get no food. They don't make no money there. But, Father, when I listened on the prayer line, it cost so much when I heard the lady said $46,000 for just simple things, Lord, so much money. So, but, Father, when you break it down in American money, that's nothing but $20, $30, $40, $50. Lord, have mercy. So I'm asking that you increase the blessing there in Jamaica, Power, because Sister Power distributed right, and she giving and she's doing right with the money, Father. Sometimes you put money in people's hands, and they just waste it. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for answering prayers. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just wanted to lift that up in prayer because sometime, as my sisters say, we got to stop and lift things up in prayer. So now, if there's anyone else like to share, you can press 1 and your line can be open. Amen. If there's anyone, amen. Amen. Let's open the line for 423. 635, your line is open.
Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon, and I took a break, and I'm back out finishing some stuff, and I'm just thanking the Lord for another day, for the sunlight, the fresh air that I'm able to get, and the exercise being in the garden. So I just want to encourage everyone to get out in the garden, start getting your bed ready for your garden, and whatever supplies that's needed, and make haste, because, you know, in everything, we have to prepare. Even in gardening, you have to prepare and do the necessary preparation so that you can yield fruits and that things will work out accordingly, and, of course, everything with prayer. So thank you again, Sister Leola, for opening up my mind.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. We know that she is a worker. She's a worker, and she's constantly working. If it's not the garden, it's the ministry. Praise God, I tell you, Sister Carla is a person that she's busy. So I just thank God for that. And I praise God that all the items, the her products that she makes. And sisters and brothers, I'm going to tell you. I use the hair grease, for my hair. I use the nasal spray for my nose. I use the pain salve, and then I use some kind of knit, bone knit. I think I may have something else that I get from Sister Carla, but so far I think I have that I use from Sister Carla, and I'm telling you, it works for me, and I use it all of it. So I just want to thank God for that. Now, brothers and sisters, I have no one that has pressed 1, but I would like to read you something from early writing. You know, my brothers and sisters, I read so many of her books and bits and pieces, but do you remember when Brother Yudi had tried to tell us that Sister White said that he saw that that it was a train. He said there was a train that it says it was a train of calls showing to her, and Brother Yudi said that Satan that there was a conductor driving that train. And it's saying, okay, I'm going to read you that right now. And I'm just going to read just that part. And she said, and I saw the rapidly with which the delusion was spreading. A train of cars was shown to me going with the speed of lightning. The angels bid me look carefully. I fixed my eyes up on the train. It seemed that the whole world was on board, that there could not be one left, said the angel. They are binding in bundles ready to be burned. Then he showed me the conductor, who appeared like a stately, fair person, whom all the passengers looked up to and reverenced. I was perplexed and asked my attendant angels who it was. Is Satan. He is the conductor in the form of an angel of light. He has taken the world captive, They are given over to the strong delusion to believe a lie that they may be damned. This agent, the next highest in order to him, is the engineering of the engineering, and others of his agents are employed in different offices as he may need them. Sisters and brothers, this is deep. And they are going with lightning speed to perdition. So you see what she's saying here, that these agencies is Satan's demons, and they are going out in the world wherever Satan needs them. So don't play with him. Don't play with him. So I wanted to just read that part. And if anyone would like it, I can send it to them. Or if you have Ellen G. White app, you can get it. I wouldn't know how to put it in a phone, a thing. I would have to go to my app and get it in a number, like E.G. White page this and that, but it says page 88 in the book. So that's where I'm reading from. So just to let my brothers and sisters know, we don't want to play with Satan at all, because when Sister White continued to read, she said that he is not, because he is the strong. He's strong. He got power, sisters and brothers. He got power. So therefore, we are to be faithful and talking to God. Amen. Talking to our Father. Amen. So now let us go. We're going to go into prayer by God's grace, because we need to pray. Because if the angel, and you know what, by the way, I wanted to read how she says the angels are, listen at this. I want to tell you about prayer. Before we go into this, let us read this part about how the angel is praying. Let me get to that. I'm trying to find that part where she said how the angels are praying. Well, I'll have it for you next time, because I don't know where I read it at. But she also said the angels are ready to answer prayers. So let us go into prayers, my brothers and sisters. And I'm going to ask if Sister Powell can pray, because I know she has a time. I don't want her phone to go out. So I'm going to ask Sister Powell to offer a prayer. And Sister Powell, I'm asking you to pray. Sister Katie is always faithful on. I'm asking you to just lift her family up, lift Sister Katie up, you know, again. And Sister Brenda is on. And Sister Carla, lift Brother Rick up, because, you know, our brother having a hard time. He's trying to help his mom and his dad, and then he's dealing with Ashley, his wife. You know, he got a lot of things he's doing there. So lift him up in prayer. Amen. And Sister Brenda, Sister Carla.
All right.
Sister Katie.
All right. Okay. Yes, my yes.
Don't
my
forget
dear.
Brother Eli. Brother Eli, okay? And Brother O'Neill.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, my dear beloved, now is the time that each one of us have the opportunity as we listen to the word and the command that we have, Lord. We do know that, you know, if there is the other time we need a prayer is now. So we are asking you all to bow your head so that we can lift up these requests and really ask the Lord to help us or guide us of the way. Because you know what? We know the enemy is out like a roaring lion. So let's pray. Give you the chance, the opportunity for us to offer a few words of prayer, and then I will just step in. Because I do know that we are here seeking the help from our dear Almighty. Now, dear Lord, as we pray, we come to you, Father,
asking you forgiveness. We are asking you, Lord, as we gather around your welcome table at this time, we are here from different parts of the world, Lord, country, and we are here, Lord, to just give you all the praise that due to you. We are here because we know that you are loving, for we have a loving Father which art in heaven, interceding on our behalf. So we present ourselves to you. We are here because you told us we have to have a humble and contrite heart so that our prayer will be lifted, our prayer that we lifted up to you will be answered. So we are asking you at this time, dear Heavenly Father, to search each and every one of us heart, Lord. See as we lift up our requests to you, that we come to you boldly to the throne, believe and to trust and to have faith that our dear Heavenly Father will hear and answer our requests. Lord, we have listened to your command, Lord, your encouraging word to let us know we as your people, Lord, have to be careful of even what we say and how we do it, Lord Jesus, and that we must be able to do things in order, dear Lord, and also to present our requests, Lord, to you with a humble heart. So as we come requesting all these wonderful, wonderful things that you have done first, giving you thanks and praise for answered prayer, because we saw that you have answered our prayer. So we want to thank you, Lord. You have answered our prayer of the sister Katie, dear Lord, allowing, Lord, her little grandson, Lord, to be coming on little by little. You have been answering our prayer, dear Lord, for her son, Dominique. You have answered her prayer as she prayed for the world. Lord Jesus, we have saw what you have done even in baptism, Lord. You have been hearing and answering prayer for the youth, Lord, young people, old people, to accept Christ as their personal Savior. They may not be in our area, but they are in the other parts of the world who we pray for, and we just want to give you thanks. Continue to pour your blessings upon your dear sister, our dear sister, and allow her, dear Lord, as she prayed for each other, that she will be blessed, Lord. And help her, Lord Jesus, that she will be a prayer warrior for others, dear Lord, and that she will be faithful with whatsoever she do. So we leave Sister Katie to you and all her, the children and grandchildren, her son Dominique and her son baby mother for the children. We lift them up to you and also her other family. We also lift up to you this moment, dear Lord, Father, Sister Carlum, busy doing your will, Lord, and also telling us and sharing us about your natural health laws that you have given unto us, the garden, exercising, and the rest, and all these things that we need, and also our product, Lord, that you have given her the inspiration and the knowledge so that she's able to use those herbs, Lord, to develop products that will help our need. So we just want to thank you for her, Lord, on her work, the light that she has been shining, oh God, with her patient, dear Father, and telling them about the love of Jesus, and they have been receiving your word. We ask you, Lord, to give her the strength, protection on the road while she drives to work and while she drives home back, Lord, and in other area that she has to do. We leave her in your care. Heavenly Father, we lift up our dear sister Brenda. Oh, Father, you know everything about Sister Brenda, Brother John, their move, Lord. I did not get it clearly, but we ask you, Lord, for help for her. There, Lord, you have seen, you have known. They have been praying, dear Father, for the world, the Lord, the homeless. They have been sharing your words to everyone who they come in contact with. They have been sharing how you have been, how you have been to a great help towards them, transform their life. And Lord, they are in the truth, studying your word. So we ask you, Lord Jesus, to continue to pour out your blessing as they pray for Advent Light. They pray for the project here in Jamaica. They pray for those people over the world, the nursing home, Lord, the hospital, the school. They lift them up to you. So we just want to thank you for that. Lord, we lift up Brother Eli once more. Father, you will not tire to hear our prayer, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to touch your son as he prayed on behalf of all those, Lord, the love he has in his heart for those, Lord, who reject you, Javel, Lord Jesus. Just touch him this moment that he may know that that's a special blessing he is getting. But just allow Brother Eli to leave all heaven, Javel, to you, because you can do all things. So bless Brother Eli, bless his mother, bless the Advent Light brothers and sisters that he pray for, his third brother, Sister Tamiko, the two Tamiko, even the young baby Tamiko, he lift them up to you, Lord. And Tamiko family, as he lift them up, Tony, to you, their grandchildren, Pastor Newby, and all of Tamiko prayer list, Sister Tamiko, he is lifting up. And we lift up Sister Tamiko again and her family members. You know their need. We lift up Sister Stephanie. We want to thank you for what you have done for her, the great physician, the healer. She's feeling much better, going out to work. And, Lord, you have provided, make a way for her. So we want to thank you. We also lift up Sister Nicole, the educator, Lord. Lord, you know everything that they are going through. We ask you to give her wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that she will be blessed, Lord Jesus. And even though the work is a lot, Lord, you will able to lighten our workload so that they, I want them, Lord, will see that Sister Nicole, dear Father, depend upon their upon her Creator. So we just want to thank you for that. We also lift up Brother O'Neill and his family members, all his children and his church brothers and the projects that he had, the ministerial project, evangelizing, Lord, in New York City. We ask you to pour out your blessings upon him. We also lift up Brother Ricardo and his family members. Lord, continue to bless him as he present the message to and fro through the Holy Spirit. Lead him, dear God, and guide, provide for their many needs, Lord. We lift up the Brother Richardson, Sister Richardson, and their family, the ministry in Tennessee, and the work that he have been doing. You know everything. The books that have been circulating, Great Controversy, the early writing that we have been reading from, Lord, the testimony of the prophetess that she have given unto us, what Satan actually owned the whole world, not only the train that was going to perdition, Lord Jesus, with so many people. When we do look around, Lord, we saw the churches all around on the Sunday worshiping, not being obedient to God's command. And they are all over, dear Lord. We see, we tell them, and dear Father, they stick to what they say they know. So, Lord, we saw that the enemy actually of the whole world, but Heavenly Father, they are your children. And we do know, as we saw the baptism, Lord, over 65 people have given their life to you. We know that you are going to draw out those people from all where they are and present the truth, because you said I love to see when my children settle in the truth. And Lord, help us, who are your people, who you gave your message to go out as John, go proclaim it in the wilderness, repent and prepare yourself, be ready for the second coming of Christ. So Lord, help us that we will carry out your message. We pray for the speaker, Brother Akin, tonight. Continue to pour out your blessings upon Brother Akin. Fill him with your sweet Holy Spirit. Use him mightily, Lord, to present your word of truth and the word of life. And also all the other speakers, Lord, who are presenting your word. We present myself to you. We want to thank you for prayer, because without prayer, dear God, I know I couldn't do anything. So I want to thank my prayer brothers and my prayer sisters from Advent Life, from all over, who are praying and lifting up, supplying the needs, Lord, of you have given and instruct us what to do. And we know that one person cannot do it, so it takes a whole village to raise a child. So I just want to thank you, Lord, for the prayer and for the answering prayer, because, Lord, I hear that people sometimes say, how we know that God answers our prayer? I have saw it, dear Father. It has been numberless, dear Father. And before we even cry out to you, you hear our prayer and your answer. So you are a prayer answering God. So I just want to give you thanks and praise and bring glory to your wonderful name for my brothers and my sisters, dear Father, of the work that you have allowed each and every one to be doing over the world, even over the world that we don't even know, dear God, but you have been using us. Thank you for Advent Light, Lord. Thank you for our prayer ministry in the morning. And we pray, Lord, that more souls will join us early morning prayer, Lord Jesus, and be consistent. We also pray that more souls will join Advent Light prayer line, Lord, over the period of time. We also pray that souls will call like what they used to do and ask for prayer, and we could pray. We are praying, Lord, that Bible study can be moved as we used to do, Lord Jesus, not because we are busy, that we can do more Bible study on these lines, Lord. Thank you for these conference lines. Bless us and keep us, Lord. Hear our prayer. And we just want to say amen and amen. Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Powell, for the powerful prayer. And brothers and sisters, Brother Akin is with us now. And we will open his line. I believe you lifted Brother Akin, did you, Sister Powell?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I did.
Okay. All right, brothers and sisters, Pastor Akin is with us, and we will open this line. Amen? Give me just a second. Okay. Pastor Akin,
all right,
is with us.
All right, can you all hear me?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Well, as we go into our subject this evening, I believe last week we ended off on the reality of Jesus Christ being in the holy place with the Father. We covered a little bit about the 24 elders. We found out that there are about two views that people have concerning the 24 elders. One is that they are people that ascended with Christ when he ascended to heaven. And at the same time, you have another view, which is that they are high position angelic. And so we looked at a few statements from inspiration that bears that out. But today we're going to go in. We ended short of the first seal. So today we're going to go into the first seal and we're going to break that down, the first seal. So in the book of Revelation chapter 6, the Bible tells us the following. In Revelation chapter 6, and I'm bringing that up here, Revelation chapter 6, it tells us the following. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. And this, some scholars say, is associated with the four beasts, one of the four beasts, the one that was as a lion. And it says, one of the four beasts came saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. So notice that as John now saw, remember the year that this happened was the year that Christ ascended to heaven. The year that Christ ascended to heaven was 31 AD. And this was the time that he was inaugurated. It was 50 days after his crucifixion, 50 days after the Passover, that Pentecost took place and the Spirit of God was poured out. And so as this happened now, the power of God was released as a signal that Christ had ascended to glory. He was now standing before the Father's throne. And so in light of this, friends, what we're seeing here is a powerful revelation. Chapter 6 of Revelation begins in the year 31 AD, because that was the year that we're seeing where Christ ascended to heaven, appeared before the Father in Revelation chapter 5. So it's 31 AD that this first seal was open. And when the first seal was open, what did John see? John saw a white horse. Now, something to keep in mind is that these are symbolic terms. And so as we go into these symbols, we'll have one more word of prayer, and then we will move forward. Father, help us to understand these things that we read. And Father, I pray that not only will it make sense, but we will see how it applies to our practical experience. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So, you have a white horse. Now, in Scripture, according to Revelation chapter 19, Revelation chapter 19, the Bible tells us in verse 7 and 8 what white represents. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And then notice what it says. To her, that is, to the wife of the Lamb, was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Why? What does this white linen represent? For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Some of your Bibles have the righteous acts of the saints, but the righteousness of saints. And we know that the righteousness of saints is none other than Christ. So, as we look at this, we are realizing that white in Scripture represents righteousness or purity, pure life. But not only that, what does a horse represent in Bible prophecy? If you go with me in your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, chapter 10, and we're going to look at verse 3, and I'll read it especially from verse 1 just to give us context. This is God speaking to his people. And he says, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. And then look at what it says. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds, that means the people who were supposed to be leading Israel, and I punished the goats. That should give you a connection to Matthew 25. The goats were those who did not follow Christ in the judgment. For the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, notice what it says, the house of Judah, that's the people of God, the church, and had made them, that is the house of God or his people, as a goodly horse in battle. All right. So as we look at this now, as we look at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, and I saw and behold a white horse, symbolic language, white representing purity, a horse representing the church, the people of God. So in other words, what we're looking at here is a church that would arise up in 31 AD when this first seal would take place, that would be righteous in character, righteous in how it lived. It would manifest Jesus to all that was around it. And not only that, the rider on this horse had a bow. If you go to Habakkuk chapter 3, and we're going to go to verse 9, it says, God speaking again through the prophet Habakkuk. It says, and I'll actually read it from verse 8. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea? That thou didst ride upon thine horses and thine chariots of salvation? Bow, that is, God's bow, was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes. Here it is, even thy word. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribes, even thy bow, even thy word, I should say. So the bow in the Bible, according to Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 9, is a representation of the word of God in symbolic language or in speaking figuratively. So when we go back to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, and I saw and behold a white horse, a church filled with the righteousness of Christ that rose up when? AD 31 or 31 AD. And what did the rider on that horse have? The rider on the horse had the word of God. And he's riding upon this horse of purity. Now it's very interesting because when you go to Revelation chapter 19, you see Jesus as a rider on a white horse. And so what this is showing us, when it talks about this person sitting, a rider, riding on this horse, it's an indication of the leadership of the church. At this time, Christ was leading his church, and every shepherd in his church was filled with his righteousness, guiding the church, shooting the arrows of God's word, shooting the arrows of conviction into the hearts of people, and having authority to do so. Hence the Bible says, and a crown was given unto him, meaning he possesses authority. And as a result of going forth in the righteousness of Christ, spreading his word, the bow of God, shooting the arrows of conviction into the hearts of men, did they meet with success? The Bible says, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So in other words, this is a symbol of the first century Christian church that was born on that rose up filled with zeal and love for Jesus Christ, filled with his righteousness, testifying of Christ and him crucified as the very heart of present truth, telling them that Christ came, that he was killed at the hands of unjust men, and that he rose again from the dead and has ascended to the highest heaven. And that's what Peter actually said on the day of Pentecost. And he said, the fact that he has ascended to heaven, this is why we have the Holy Spirit today. That's what he said on the day of Pentecost. So 3,000 won in a day. And then a few chapters later in the book of Acts, 5,000 won. This is a symbol. This white horse, this rider on the white horse, is a symbol of the first century church, spanning from 31 AD all the way to 100 AD. Now, while this happened, friends, this is very interesting. While this took place, the Bible also tells us that another horse would rise up. Another horse would rise up. In verse 3, it says, and when he had opened the second seal, when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. So the first seal or the first horseman of the apocalypse spanned from 31 AD, the time of the apostles and the day of Pentecost, all the way to the end of the first century, 100 AD. But from 100 AD onward to a certain period was the time of the red horse. And that's what we're going to at this moment. The rider on the red horse. All right? A few books that I want to recommend to you all as we move forward is the book God Cares, that you can understand, read, and understand these principles. Many people, they come up with many interesting understandings of the books of Daniel and Revelation. And the reason is because they may not know the systems of how Revelation and Daniel are to be interpreted. And so three books I would recommend, as I recommended actually to my congregation yesterday, is the book God Cares, The Message of Daniel, God Cares, The Message of Revelation. And this is written by a man by the name of C. Mervyn Maxwell. along with the book, The Great Controversy, because some of the things that we're going to be reading, the powerful thing about The Great Controversy is it goes from the destruction of Jerusalem all the way through the period that we'll actually be studying in the seals. So this is why it's good to get these books in hand and read them and study them. In the last days, friends, God will be looking for people that can instruct others in an understanding of his word. But we can only instruct others as we sit down and we study that word. As I have been studying these things, it has been a massive blessing to me. And so in light of that, the same things that I'm going to tell you are found in these books. And so let's move in to the second seal. It says, and when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and that there was given unto him a great sword. All right? So this is a red horse. We found out that a horse in the Bible represents what? It represents God's people. It represents the church, God's house of Judah, his people. But notice what happens. We still have a horse, but the color changes. The color changes. And the color changes to red. Now, according to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, we're going to find out that this color red represents a few things. Isaiah chapter 1 is where we're going to go. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us this. It says the following, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So we're seeing here, according to Scripture, that red in Scripture can be a symbol of sin. But it's not just a symbol of sin. Red in Scripture, we know through the entire sanctuary service, is also a representation of sacrifice. And so we're going to look at the sacrifice first. Because friends, as you study the seven churches, the seven seals, and the seven trumpets, you find out that they all run parallel to each other, covering the same periods of history for the most part, from the beginning almost all the way through to the end. All of them bringing us to the end of the world, by the way. And so this is one of the reasons that many people understood this decades ago, but many have forgotten the sequence, that the seals and the churches match. So what you would see in the Church of Ephesus is what you should expect to find as it relates to the first horseman, the white horse. What you read about in the red horse, that's the second horse, you should be able to expect to find in the second church, Smyrna, and so on and so forth. First church, first seal. Second church, second seal, and so on and so forth. William Miller, in his book Evidence, on pages 180 and 181, understood this concept. This is one of the reasons that he said red, yes, it represents corruption, but he also mentions that this red represents sacrifice. It represents bloodshed, that many would lose their lives at this time among the people of God. So he mentions this in his book Evidence. The second beast spoken of in this passage in relation to the second seal is the representation of the church, which is like a calf because it is red, right? Even though it's a horse, it's red. And it says, showing that the church would be given to the slaughter like a calf fatted for the market. During the period of the opening of this seal, which period lasted until Constantine put a period to the persecutions of the Christians. So this seal would last from 100 AD, the end of the first century, and it would go all the way until Constantine put a period to the Christian persecutions. And friends, that happened in the year 313. It happened in the year 313. And so what happened in that year? If you go back and you read, friends, Revelation chapter 2, and you check out verse 8, it tells us this second church lining up with the second seal, the rider on the red horse. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Now, why would Jesus identify himself with the church of Smyrna in that way? It's because many of them would die. But he's letting them know that they will be raised. How do we know this? It says in verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days, a.k.a. 10 years. So this is a prophecy we're dealing with. It says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So we're realizing, whoa, under the period of the second church, Smyrna, which is the same period as the red horse, there would be much persecution. There would be much bloodshed, much suffering. No wonder the second horseman is red. No wonder the second horseman is red. All right? So as we look at this now, and friends, give me 1 second. All right. So no wonder the church is red, right? No wonder the church is red. No wonder the church is represented as a red horse, because there will be much persecution during this time period. All right? So as we look at this, we're realizing that, wow, the reason William Miller said what he did was because he understood what would be happening in this church period. By the way, the 10 days that are represented here, interestingly enough, spans for the last 10 years just before Constantine came and started making Christianity a legal religion. And so that year, between 100 and 313 AD, the 10 years are from 303 to 313, when Christians suffered for their faith in a greater way than before. So they were suffering, but in the last 10 years before Constantine came and made Christianity legal, the suffering was at its highest. Christians will be taken into coliseums and eaten by lions and other animals. We are told, actually, that when Constantine finally made the decree that Christianity was legal, that people came forth from the wilderness, from the territories surrounding where the decree was made, out of forests, out of caves. And friends, many of them had hands that were missing. They had arms that were gone, legs that had been cut off, eyes that were missing, all due to persecution. And so hence, it's represented as a red horse. But remember, red also represents sin. So it's also telling us that as much persecution as there was of the church, there was also corruption entering into it. And so in light of this, friends, this is why Taylor G. Bunch, a commentator on the Revelation, page 36, actually mentions this. He states, the weapon of the previous horseman was a bow, which represented the sword of the Spirit. These are the mighty weapons of warfare described in 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. The purpose of this mighty sword is to save and not destroy. But the great sword given to the rider of the red horse was to be used to take peace from the earth and to kill one another. It is evident that this is not the sword of the Spirit, but rather the sword of the state. And friends, we have that in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. It actually tells us there, Romans chapter 13, it tells us the following. Let me make sure I can get that for you guys. All right? So this is what it states here. All right, says, give me 1 second, friends. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that are ordained are ordained of God. Therefore, he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldest thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to him that doeth evil. All right? So we're seeing here that God is revealing to us powerful truth, that it is our work to live in harmony with the government's decrees as long as it does not conflict with God's word and law. But the Bible says, for the one who wants to do his own will and do wickedly, it says that this civil power, the government, the civil leaders of the land, bear not the sword for nothing. In other words, they bear it for a specific reason. So therefore, when we are looking at the sword in Scripture, the sword in the Bible also represents the civil power. So what we're seeing here under the auspices of the second seal is that there would come a time in the church where persecution will be at an all-time high, but it is during that time when the rider on this horse, a symbol of the leadership of the church, would begin to compromise, unlike the leadership of the first seal. The leadership of the second seal, leading the church of God, they would begin to compromise. And to an extent, especially at the end of the time period of this horseman, to lay hold of the power of the state. In place of truly relying on the power of God, leaders will begin to rely on the power of the state to accomplish their ends. And friends, this would ultimately result in the birth of the movement, or the church, I should say, we know as the papacy. But this would happen later on in history. But this is the beginnings. These are the beginnings that we are looking at here. The beginnings of the formation of the papal system. It was because Christian leaders, during the time when Rome was persecuting the church and Roman emperors were killing Christians, that certain Christians began to compromise their faith, that then Christianity began in its smallest form to depend upon civil power for protection ends. And this would ultimately, a few centuries later, result in the establishment of the papal system. This time period went from 100 AD to 313. Remember, one of the things that William Miller mentioned, right? He says, during this period of the opening of this seal, which period lasted until Constantine put a period to the persecutions of the Christians. And when did that happen? That happened in the year 313 AD. Constantine made Christianity legal. So it goes from the end of the first century to 313 AD. So these are the first two seals of the seven seals, the first two horsemen out of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, one going from 31 AD to 100 AD, the time of the apostles, the leadership that had a zeal for God. These apostles guided the church, and as they guided the church, they guided it in righteousness. As they guided the church in righteousness, they went forth with the word of God, conquering and to conquer. And then, not only that, as a result, they won thousands of souls filled with the love of Jesus and love for people. But as time went on, as it shows us in the church of Ephesus, the love for God, for Christ, began to wane. The call to the church of Ephesus is to return to its first love. Now, there were some who did. This is why, in the second church of Smyrna, there's not one sin, not one error that God points out about Smyrna. It's one of the few of the seven churches, one out of the two, that there's no problem that is mentioned with it. Smyrna and Philadelphia, they were on fire, they were zealous, they were following God with the truth that they knew. But at the same time, you remember in that church of Smyrna, there were also people that did what? Interestingly enough, there were people that compromised. This is why it actually talks about the synagogue of Satan, those that claim to be Jews, but they are truly not. That's what this means. It means that there were leaders who did compromise, but there were those who chose to stand, and Jesus talks to them. So this tells us something crucial about the difference between the churches and the seals. The churches, the seven churches, trace God's call to his people from the time of the apostles all the way to the end of time, his correction, his admonition, his desire to give them power, his promises to them. But the seals, however, while it traces the history of religious things, it's tracing the history of the apostasy of those who did not hold on to the truth. That's why the next color that we're going to look at is black. So the horse goes from white to red to black. And that part we will cover next time. So I pray that this made sense, friends. We've gone over much this evening, so I want to leave room if anyone had any questions or anything. So let's pray, because we covered much this evening. So I'll leave you guys with that. Once again, the books that I recommend that you get, God Cares, C. Mervyn Maxwell, God Cares, The Message of Daniel, God Cares, The Message of Revelation, both by C. Mervyn Maxwell, as well as Getting a Hold of the Great Controversy. If you can study these books, these two commentaries along with the book, The Great Controversy, friends, it will set you apart in an understanding. What God's people need more today than the preaching of the word is the teaching of the word, we are told. Why? Because the people must be educated. The people need to be educated. So if you can understand these things, then you can explain them as we live in these last days. For many perceive that these seals are in the future. They don't know how to interpret the book of Revelation. But friends, we have been given writings. We have been given historical writings. We have been given powerful, powerful books that can help us, commentaries that can help us, so we gain an understanding and don't come up with our own private interpretation. So I pray that this made sense. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, guide us, O Lord. I pray, O God, that we may stand as the Church of Smyrna stood. I pray that by your grace we will not compromise. I pray, Father, that we can be restored to the time of the first seal, the time when the church was totally on fire, led by the apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the righteousness of Jesus, and manifesting that to the then known world. May we have that power once again to manifest it to the entire world. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Brothers and sisters, we want to thank Pastor Akeem for this message tonight. And as he was speaking about these horses, and knowing that that red horse symbolized death, or the spilling of blood, or just the wants, even food, Brother Akeem says, because when you come to starve, well, that's death also. But Brother Akeem, I wanted to share something, and this goes along with what you said. In earlier writings, I was reading earlier, I wanted to share, but you was on, and I say, thank God you was on so you can bring the message. But I want to ask my brothers and sisters, early writing says something, Brother Akeem, and this goes with your message. And she said, I saw that the saints must get a thoroughly understanding of the present truth, which they will be obligated to maintain from the scripture. They must understand the state of the dead. Brothers and sisters, I want to ask you a question. How many of you understand the state of the dead. Because I'm going to read what she said. And if you have any question or if you want to know, you can talk to Sister Powell, myself, Sister Carla, and we can give you a little bit more information. And I'm going to read what it says. If you have the early writings, it's on page 87. She said, "For the spirits of devils will yet appear to them, professing to be beloved friends and relatives, who will declare to them that the Sabbath has been changed. Also, other unscriptural doctrines, they will do all in their power to excite sympathy and will work miracles before them to confirm what they declare. The people of God must be prepared to withstand these spirits with the Bible truth that the dead know not nothing, and that they who are appeared to them are the spirits of devils. So if your loved ones, if your daddy, your mama, or anyone appear to you, you know to speak to that and let it know that it's not of God. It's the spirit of the devil. And our mind must not be taken up with things around us, but must be occupied with the present truth and the preparation to give a reason of our hope with the meekness and fear. We must seek wisdom." It just got a little bit here. One more line. "We must seek wisdom from on high that we may stand in that day of error and delusion." So brothers and sisters, I'm asking you to study and seek that information, the spirit of the dead, because it's going to be a delusion there. So Brother Akeem, can you comment on that?
No, yes, most definitely. A member, a church member of mine, we were talking about that yesterday, the aspect of how the state of the dead, the subject of the immortality of the soul, will play a crucial role. The two major doctrines that would be attacked would be the Sabbath and the subject of what happens at death. And so the reason being that Satan, this would be the overmastering delusion that the enemy uses at the end of time, of him and his fallen angels, which will be to not just impersonate necessarily, but the words that were used by Ellen White was personate the dead. And so that's why we truly have to know what the Word of God says concerning death. But not just that, it's really we have to have an experimental knowledge of Jesus, because when these things start happening, and I mean they are happening, but not on the level that the prophecy reveals that you just read from early writings, when that happens, it will be on a totally different level. We are actually even told in the book Last Day Events that many who know the present truth, and I think you alluded to that as well, many who know the present truth, Sister White also mentions, will be tested upon this point because spirits of the dead will appear to them. Many think, oh man, spirits of the dead will appear to people who don't know, and that's true, but many of those of us who do know the truth, we will be tested as well to see whether we have trained ourselves to believe and trust in our senses, or whether we have trained ourselves to believe on the Word of God, even regardless of what we see or what we touch or what we hear. Because God's Word, even though God gave us our senses, those senses must be trained to live in harmony with His principles. And if they contradict, you know that we go with the Word of God even more than what our eyes see. So I definitely hear what you're saying and definitely agree with the statements that you read from Sister White. And my prayer is that we'll be ready.
Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I just want to thank you for coming on tonight, sharing, listening on Advent Light Ministry. And we welcome you usually on here Thursday night, Friday night, and Sunday night. So you are welcome to join. And I'm going to ask the Lord to bless us. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to bless my brothers and sisters on this prayer line that here with us tonight. And Father, please help us to understand the message that been taught to us tonight. Father, we thank you and bless each and every one with a peaceful and a restful night. Amen. So God bless my brothers and sisters, and have a good night's sleep. Bye.